Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing as we begin the service today. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the privilege that we have for knowing you, and we thank you for giving us the Word of God that can encourage us, give us hope and strength for the times in which we live. We praise you, Lord Jesus, because of what you have done and what you are doing in our lives. We ask now, Jesus, that you will speak through me and that you'll speak to our congregation. May your Holy Spirit fall upon us fresh. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, the sermon title is Living Today, Waiting for Tomorrow. You may have heard the old quotes of old, "Occupy till I come." We have a responsibility in our day and age and right now, expecting the soon return of Jesus Christ, but also too, we have to occupy until He does come. What does that mean to us today as a congregation? What does it mean to occupy until I come? Well, before I go any further, I would like to look at our scripture reading that we had today. And that again is Revelation chapter 2 and 25 through 29, if you'll open your Bibles there with me. Again, that's Revelation chapter 2, 25 through 29. Revelation chapter 2 and 25 through 29. And the Bible says this, "But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. He that overcometh and keep my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of the potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." Well, verse 25 tells us that we need to hold fast till he comes. What does that mean, hold fast until we come? Well, I want to leave that verse in your mind now as we go to another portion of Scripture found in Luke chapter 19. It's a parable in which Christ gave to those that were standing by him. But I want you to think of this today. This is my foundation of the sermon today. My theme is holding fast till I come, or holding fast till he comes, and occupying until he comes. What does that all mean for us today, especially the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 19. But you want to make sure to keep your finger in Revelation chapter 2, because we will be coming back there. But turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 19, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 27. Luke chapter 19, verses 12 through 27. Luke chapter 19 and verses 12 through 27. The Bible says here, "A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come." Now here's that verse again. Occupy till I come. What does that mean for us? Let me just read the rest of the story, and then I will give you some illustrations, and I will give you some of my thoughts today. But it says this once again, "Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, you have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou not my money to the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that has not, even that he hath, shall he be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. That's quite a mouthful this morning. However, notice that the king, the ruler, the nobleman says in verse 12, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Let me ask you this question today. Who do you suppose this nobleman is? Well, obviously, to me, it would represent Jesus Christ. Because Jesus came to this world, He died on planet Earth, and now, as the Bible says, He's going to receive His kingdom, and He's going to come back to give us that kingdom with Him that we may live and reign with Him. But notice verse 13, and He called His 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I what? Occupy until I come. You see, friends, we have a responsibility. God has given us something. Now, the rest of the story is this. Each person was given a certain amount, 10, 5, and then 1. But each person was to take that money that he received and give it to usury or to use it to some sort to glorify and to advance his wealth. Well, let's put it in proper perspective for us here today. We have been given energy, we have been given time, we have been given money, we have been given responsibility, and we're to use those gifts that God has given us or Christ has given us to use to advance His kingdom prior to His coming. When Jesus comes again, He's going to ask of us, what have we done with the talents which we have been given? Now, here's the answer to the question that I asked earlier. What does it mean to occupy till I come or hold fast till I come? Point number one, in this lesson here of the nobleman giving to each man the money, friends, we have been given a responsibility with the gifts that God has given us to advance the kingdom of God. If we are not advancing the kingdom of God, then we are not doing the responsibility by which God has given us to do. Amen? And so I ask of you today, what are you doing with the gifts and the talents that God has given you? Are you increasing God's wealth? In other words, are you advancing the kingdom? Are you taking responsibility and initiative within our congregation here today at the Elmira Seventh-day Adventist Church to broaden horizons, to go beyond the skirts of our church sanctuary here and to meet the needs and the demands of the congregation around us? Because if we do not, then we're going to be held accountable in the last days. And could it be that some of us in this congregation, by not doing what we ought to be doing, may be lost prior to or at the second coming of Jesus? That's a scary thought, that some of us could be lost because we are not using the talents by which God has given us. Well, I've been laying heavily quite a bit on discipleship and our responsibility as a church and a church congregation. On Wednesday nights, we have been studying the book of Acts, the Acts and the Apostles, and so forth. The church's responsibility, the laity's responsibility, the leadership responsibility. I don't know about you, friends, but God has given the Seventh-day Adventist Church a great responsibility, a message of truth to the entire world. Now, I'm pretty proud to be a part of the Seventh-day Adventist denomination. For God giving us such a pertinent truth for the times in which we live, we have a responsibility to take those special truths and disperse across the world the message of hope to prepare people for the soon return. If we are not taking, once again, the responsibility that we have been given as a congregation of the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, friends, we are going to be held accountable, and God is going to hold us accountable in the last day especially. So when Jesus comes again, what is He going to say to you? Thou well done, good and faithful servant? Or you knew that I was one reaping where I did not sow? You see, God is going to judge us more than He is those outside. So we have a pertinent responsibility in the last days prior to the coming of Jesus. So what are you doing with the talents that God has given you? You see, occupying till He comes means that we are working to His glory in preparation for His soon return. But now I want to take you back to Revelation chapter 2, looking at the church of Thyatira. Again, Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to look at those verses again, 25 through 29. Notice verse 25. He says, but thou which you have already, hold fast till I come. In other words, the things that you do have and the things that you know how to do, hold fast with those. Use them to God's ability for His glory. Hold fast, and He says, till I come. In other words, we have a responsibility. We have been given a right, so to speak, from God to advance His kingdom and to go forward until Jesus comes. You know, I've seen pastors who retire and take their retirement and then they don't do anything. I hope I never become one of those type of pastors. Because for me, I feel like when we enter into the gospel ministry or the gospel work, we are doing it for a lifetime. Not just for an X amount of years, but for a lifetime till the day I die. In other words, once again, as a church congregation, as a people, whether a pastor, elder, deacon, or whatever, friends, it's time that we work for the glory of God to advance His kingdom for a special purpose to prepare people for His soon return. And if we are preparing for His soon return, then we are going to work until we die, or we're going to work until the day Jesus comes. Now let's put this into perspective. If you remember Revelation, you remember that one voice, that loud cry, come out of her, my people. Well, who gives that message call? To me, faithfully, if I'm going to hold fast to the Word of God, it's the Seventh-day Adventist, the Seventh-day Adventist missionaries, if you will. We are going to cry out, come out of her, my people. Come out of what? False doctrine and into the truth. When does that calling out come? When does that crying come out of Babylon take place? Prior to, just before the soon return of Jesus. So friends, we are going to be working and holding fast till the day Jesus comes. Amen? We have a responsibility with what God has given us to share that gospel and to bring people into His fold till the day He comes. Friends, if we are not doing the work by which God has asked us to do, by shedding and sharing the gospel abroad, then friends, we aren't doing our responsibility. Now, we have to be very careful here, because we don't want to come off to the rest of the world saying, oh, we have the truth and, you know, we have the only foundation by which to grow or to learn from. However, I believe that to be true in a sense, but we have to be careful that we're not pig-headed or biased towards others because of the truth that we have received. In other words, more than anything, Paul stated many times over, I desire to know nothing else except for what? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So the foundation by which we acknowledge truth and give truth to the world is because of what Jesus is doing in us and through our congregation. Now, notice back here in verse 25. He says, But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. In other words, occupy till I come. Work at the work that God has given us to do. But notice what he says to those who occupy until he comes, or hold fast. He that overcometh, in other words, he that overcomes the slothfulness of this world and the tiredness of this world by not giving into the things of this world. Notice what he says, and keepeth my works unto when? The end. Again, the work is shown here that we go until the end. To him will I give power over what? The nations. In other words, friends, as long as we are faithful to the Word of God, faithful to His commands, He has given us all nations. Isn't that what I talked about last time? Is that, our borders are not just here in Elmira, but all nations have been given to us. We have a responsibility to go to all the world and preach that gospel. But then in verse 27 he says, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. In other words, Jesus is going to give us to be kings of this earth, kings of this nation. In other words, we have such a pertinent truth that we truly are the rulers and the kings of this earth. Go out and share the gospel. Don't be afraid. Why? Because God has given us authority, He's given us power over the nations next to us to come out of false teaching and false doctrine. Friends, go out. Occupy till He comes. Work until Jesus comes. Don't get slothful. Now, it's a scary thing to become slothful. Because when we fall in that type of addictive behavior, before you know it, time has elapsed by. And how many times have I heard people say, oh, if I could have only done it over. I hope that you're not one of those that say, if only I could have done it over. If you are, ask for forgiveness, go forward, march forward, and take the place where God is wanting to establish you, and take the Word of God with you, and He will bless you. Now, notice verse 28. And I will give him the what? The morning star. Friends, who's the morning star of Scripture? It's Jesus, isn't it? The promise that Christ will be with us all the way till the end. That's good news. And when we go forward with the gospel, Jesus is going to be right next to us, helping us, aiding us as we preach that everlasting gospel. Occupy, work till He comes. Now, verse 29, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Well, we put that in a little bit perspective here. Friends, we don't have much time. In fact, the book of Revelation is all about hurry up because I'm coming. And let me just take you through a walk through Scripture here very quickly and to try to get you give you an idea of what I mean by this. In other words, God says, occupy till I come. We don't have time to be slothful or cared about the cares of this world, although we need to take care of ourselves and things like that, you understand. But we have to recognize, too, that the time is very short. That's what the book of Revelation is trying to tell us. That's the message. Jesus is coming. Time is short. Hurry up. And because it may come unawares, we may not be ready for His coming, but come. Jesus is coming quickly. Get out there. Get to work. Now, let me show you this example. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. And I'm going to go very quickly through each verse. But follow along and you'll get the idea here. Verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee, what? The word is quickly. And I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou do what? That you repent. The first verse in the book, the first time the word quickly is used in the book of Revelation is right here in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, quickly. And friends, the rest of the book of the Revelation is about hurry up, quickly, I am coming. Get ready, get to work, because I'm coming soon. We don't have time to mess around. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 16. Repent, or else I will come unto thee. What's the word? Quickly. There again, we see another reference to quickly. Revelation is about hurry up because I am coming. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Behold, I do what? I come quickly. Once again, Jesus has given us the promise that He will be coming quickly. And then, of course, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 7. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Jesus is about ready to come, friends. Behold, I come quickly. And then finally, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, the Bible says, and behold, I come what? I come quickly. Again, the message of the book of Revelation is he's coming soon. Hurry up, but occupy. Hold fast. Why hold fast? Because Jesus is coming. Friends, we don't have time to mess around anymore. We've got to get to work. It's time to bring souls into the kingdom of God. And you know what I found out, and I learned in my personal life as well? It's hard to bring souls into the kingdom, or hard to bring souls into the church, unless we first are converted and have a conviction of heart by Jesus Christ. In other words, we must have a relationship with Christ in order for us to go out and win souls to the kingdom. Amen? And so, friends, if you're having a hard time in your life, maybe it's because you need a relationship with Jesus more than you need anything else. So I ask and pray that each of you will take the challenge today to ask Jesus Christ into your life, because that's where effective soul winning truly comes from. Now, remembering this, I come quickly. Friends, if we don't have enough time, there's somebody else in this world that we're fighting against that knows that he doesn't have enough time either. And of course, you're very familiar with this verse, and I'm going to take you to this text. It's Revelation chapter 12. In verse 12, and I'm sure you're already familiar with it and you already know it, but let's look at the Bible and see what the Bible has to say today. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12. The Bible says this, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell unto them, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has what? A short time. Friends, the devil is assured that Jesus is coming quickly. And friends, if the devil is assured that Jesus is coming quickly and he knows that he has a short time, what does that tell us as a congregation, as a people, as a Seventh-day Adventist denomination living in these last days? Friends, we don't have enough time. It's time to get out there and win some souls for the kingdom. What do you say? And friends, Jesus is appealing to you. He's appealing to me. He's appealing to all of us to reach out and to go forward and to take the baton ahead of you and to spread that good news gospel to the world around you and to prepare to cry out, come out of Babylon, my people. Well, Revelation chapter 3 gives us a sorry story about the church prior to the coming of the last day of Jesus, or coming to in the last days prior to Jesus' second coming. The Bible tells us the church is poor, blind, and naked. In other words, it's slothful. It doesn't know its condition. But the only remedy for that church, the only remedy for that Laodicean church, is to invite Jesus into the heart. Friends, my appeal to you today is that we occupy until Jesus comes. Living today, waiting for tomorrow. If we're going to live today, let's live for Jesus today. And let's occupy until He comes. But let's empower our lives with the gospel of Jesus. Let's put Jesus into the heart, Jesus into the life. And my appeal to all of you today is, come to the table. I give an invitation to all of you. If Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart, open your door to Him. Let Him come in so that He can empower your life and enrich your life. He wants to make you the preacher, the minister, the kings of the earth, and to rule the nations with the rod and so forth. He wants to give you the nations. And sometimes we're just too afraid. But if we have Jesus, there's nothing to be afraid of. Why? Because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen? So my invitation to you today is, behold, I come quickly. And as Jesus said, my reward is with me. And over again, the Bible says, behold, I come quickly. There's a twofold application for us today. One is, are you ready? Are you ready to see Jesus? What are you doing with the talents that God has given you? What are you doing with the talents that Jesus has given to you? We have to realize that we're going to be held accountable for those talents that God has given us. And finally, are we reaching souls for the kingdom of heaven? You know, the Atlantic Union has put together everyone win one. Friends, it's not too hard to reach to one soul and to spread the gospel. We may not have droves of people coming in, but we sure can spread the gospel around. So I encourage you today to invite Jesus into your heart, into your life, and then go out into all the world and share that gospel so that Jesus can come soon. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go home. I want to see Jesus face to face. And the promise is that we will have the morning star. Friends, we'll be in the very presence of Jesus because of our faithfulness. And because we know that time is short, we can make this last forever. We can shorten the time. What are we going to do? My appeal to all of us is to work for the Master. Let Him empower your life. Live for Jesus. Serve Him. And may He enrich your life so that you can be truly a soul winner He wants. And let's also pray, too, that our congregation here will advance and grow in love with Jesus and the Spirit of Christ, and that we will be empowered to share that gospel to the world. So with that, look forward to seeing you next week or soon, and many blessings to all of you, and I pray that you will be empowered by this message today. But before I go, let's have a word of prayer together, asking the Lord's blessing upon each of you to strengthen and empower us here today. Our Father in heaven, I thank You so much for giving us the gospel. Thank You for revealing to us, Lord, that we are living in a time which time is very short. But You have given us a responsibility to occupy, hold fast till You come. Help us to do the work that You have given us. Help us to go forward advancing day by day. Let us not be worried about the cares of tomorrow, but sufficient is today. We thank You, Jesus, that You died on Calvary, that You might give us eternal life. We thank You now for loving us and forgiving us of our sins. And Lord, if we are one of those that have fallen into the Laodicean condition, we have become slothful with our responsibilities, I ask that You would forgive us. And now, Lord, may our eyes be open to see that glorious light that You want to shine upon us. Give us Your Spirit, I ask this day. And now, Lord, I pray, empower us as we go our separate ways. And thank You for giving us Jesus. In Your name, amen.